Who are you calling a nice girl?
Hello, everyone, and welcome to another episode of Not So Nice Girl. I am your host and recovering nice girl, Natalie Bopicelli. And today marks the beginning of the new year, which means that it is probably one of my least favorite times of the year. And no, that is not just because Christmas is over, although I am quite sad and in denial as all of my Christmas decorations are still up. But what I'm talking about today is something that I think everyone at any age, unfortunately, can relate to. And it's kind of these two different categories, but all under the same big category of this almost like post-holidays, New Year compensatory behaviors, and this culture that we weirdly have just accepted as normal to glorify and to brag and share about all of these compensatory behaviors. So the first kind of aspect of this is a bit broader. And it's, of course, the New Year's resolutions. Now, if you are someone who makes a SMART goal and you stick to it and you set a timeline, a way of measuring all the steps that you're going to take, and you follow through, you are the type of person to follow through, by all means, set yourself a New Year's resolution. It could be really helpful to set intentions for the new year, even though it's kind of like an arbitrary restart. It is still a way to kind of restart the new year. However, being that most of us are literally drilled into our head at like age 9 that we quote unquote need a New Year's resolution, most people aren't making their New Year's resolutions in that orderly scientific way. They're saying vague things. They're saying, this year I want to eat healthier. I want to work out more. I want to gossip less, whatever. All of them are also usually rooted and based in things that are around our body image or around things that other people have made us feel insecure about, which is one of my true hatreds of it. But it's also these really, really vague goals. And when you set a vague goal, you're basically, what research shows, set up to fail. Because a vague goal doesn't have a measurement. It's a moving scale. So one day you could be like, I want to eat healthier. So maybe you are eating healthier, but you're still living a balanced lifestyle. And then all of a sudden, what you view as healthy, or what you would have viewed as healthy on January 1st, maybe that's not what you view as healthy anymore. You are making these rules more stringent. Or the opposite, you mess up, so you say, well, okay, well, I can do this. I can do that. And in the end, you're not reaching any of your actual goals. And I think setting a goal that is so vague for an entire year, not knowing what the year is going to bring, not knowing what literally even the next month is going to bring, is a difficult thing to do at the start of the year. It's much better to be constantly making goals for yourself and be constantly making and setting intentions for yourself week by week or month by month, because you have a better standing of where you are mentally and physically, what's happening around you in your world. I mean, this is something that rings very true for me. If I set a goal last January, I had just found out that my dad had cancer, but he was seemed totally healthy. Other than, you know, the diagnosis, seemed totally fine. I had no idea what the year had in store for me. And I would have definitely set a lot more, like, giving myself a lot more grace. I definitely wouldn't have taken on as much as I did. Even just simple things, like you may be starting school or going to college this year or starting a new job this year, that job, you may not even know that you're starting that job on January 1st. It may be something that comes later on the line. And you have to allow flexibility for these goals to change. Otherwise, you ditch them entirely. So that alone kind of gives me agita surrounding New Year's resolutions. But I think there's a new trend that's coming on that I do believe is a good start. It's this idea of like ins and out lists. So what's in for 2024, what's out for 2023, and people are posting and sharing. And here's where I don't necessarily agree with them. I think the ins and out lists are great. The people that are sharing them, again, they're so vague. It's be nice to yourself. Rest. Read more. Eat healthier. And they're also things that, especially the people that are sharing them, they're things that they want people to see that they're doing. Even the most genuine, the most honest people, on some level, your ins and out lists are going to be the most idealistic. So I do think, one, just viewing this trend with skepticism, because people can put a hell of a lot of things down on a list. And maybe they can only accomplish one of those. Something, it seems as simple as be kinder to yourself. One, what the fuck does that mean? What does that mean? Be kinder to yourself. Physically, mentally, in your self-talk, in what you take on, in the people you surround yourself with. What does that mean? No one knows if that's all you're writing. And two, that's a big task in of itself. Especially women, we struggle with that so much. And then to have 8 more things on your list, it's great to have an intention and a goal and to recognize things that you'd like to improve on. But I think we all need to kind of take a step further or maybe just make them more personal. I know for me, my outs, I wouldn't really make them that vague because there's a lot of things that I don't want to focus on as much in this coming year. But to tackle it as a whole is too daunting that I'm going to already be overwhelmed. But if I were to mentally erase and mentally cross off each one kind of piece by piece, then I might actually be able to take that off my mental load. So for example, there's a lot of research behind kind of physical to-do lists. So it's this sense or this idea of applying, especially for people who struggle with ADHD or anxiety or low motivation because of depression or, you know, ADHD or anxiety, that to-do lists are very useful. They are a way of getting your brain that is filled with a million different things going on at once onto a piece of paper. And by putting it onto a piece of paper or onto, you know, a Word document even, you are taking a step to remove it out of your brain. You don't have to hold on to that mental load. And then going one step further, and maybe it's, you know, a 2023 out list, and you're crossing it off, physically crossing it off, whether it's like strike out on Microsoft Word, or it's, I love a good physical, write it out, strike it out. There's a lot of psychology behind that being a mental cue to remove that from your mental load. And it's really helpful to do this activity. And I think New Year's is great. Once a month also could be great. If you've been ruminating on something, it could be great. But to physically strike that out is so valuable in cleaning out kind of the mental junk. However, if you're doing these vague things, so out list, let's say, negative self-talk, cross that off. That's not really going to be removing from your mental load. You're not really crossing something off, because that's such a vague thing that you can't remove a whole chunk of your mental load like that. For me, I know one thing I would like to do in the coming 2024. It's pretty simple, but it's, you know, I had been ruminating on a friend breakup and I just want to stop. I don't want it to be something that keeps coming up in my brain. I don't want it to be something that I keep, you know, ruminating on if I am not included in things, or if like maybe some reading into things that they're doing that maybe it's an attack on me. I want to stop. And it's so specific. I'd never just like write out so specifically all of the line, the people, whatever, and share that. But it's my own personal little list of cross it off. It doesn't have to be in my brain. And that's a specific thing that on my mental load, my brain understands how to let go of. If I were to just say in 2024, I want to forget people who don't serve me well, or forget people who have hurt me in the past, that is so vague. There are a lot of people who have hurt me in the past, and some of them I've already forgotten, and some of them I haven't. My brain won't know where to start. So I urge you, yes, I think this ins and out list is great. One, I urge you to look at others with skepticism. They're putting on there what they think looks good, what they think other people will approve of. It's not necessarily their most vulnerable. It's usually pretty vague. And it's not a cue to you that you have to do what they're doing. It may remind you of things you might want to work on, but to understand that either they're just intentions, they're just general intentions that you want to hold on and chip away at one by one, maybe not in this 1 year, but just in life. Or maybe you pick one aspect, you pick one portion of life, school, work, health, self-care, friendships, relationships. You pick one and you start getting specific and getting into the nitty-gritty of what's been holding you back. Why does that aspect of your life pop up as something that you want to work on? And ask questions about it. Don't just say, I want to be kinder to myself. What does that look like? Why are you writing that down? What have you been doing that isn't kind? And where can you start in order to achieve that? Actually turning these into real changes in your life. And recognizing that putting them on one little list is not going to solve anything. You're going to need help. All these things are big things. They're meaty topics. Maybe it's therapy. Maybe it's friends. Maybe it's family. You might need added support if you're going to tackle them. And so that kind of leads me into this other reason why I sort of hate this time of year. And it's everyone's need and pressure to exhibit compensatory behaviors post-holidays. I talked about this in my holiday episode about kind of mental health and eating disorders, that because I struggled with an eating disorder. And January would be really, really, really hard for my eating disorders. That was usually when I would relapse pretty hard because I would build all this stress around holidays because, yes, people do eat more, maybe drink more. You maybe you're thrown off your routine in general because you might be traveling, you know, aren't working, aren't in school, whatever it is. And I would build it up and have all of these compensatory behaviors already in play for making sure I wouldn't gain any weight. Most of the time, I honestly usually lost weight. I didn't even gain weight because I was so scared and stressed and anxious that I didn't even allow myself to partake in the fun that is the holidays. And then I go into January and I go back to high school, I go back to college, I go back to work. Now I go back to college again. And I talk to my friends. And what am I hearing? I'm going to do the 75 hard. I'm going to do dry January. I'm going to go on a juice cleanse or a diet. I'm going to start working out every single day. And I know what a lot of people are going to think and going to say, and you might want to turn this off immediately because you're probably doing one of these. I'm not here to say that they're bad. I'm here to say that they all need to be done mindfully. They are all similar to crash diets. And I'm not going to go deep into my hatred for diet culture. That's a whole other episode. But the research shows is most people that go on diets end up, when they stop the diet, which about 99% of the people do not continue with the diet, they end up gaining back the weight. And typically, they gain back more than what they started at. And then along with that, develop a really unhealthy relationship surrounding food. So if we use that analogy, well, one, it could be, exactly that. People might be going into the new year and saying, I need a diet. I need to go on a juice cleanse. And it usually doesn't end well. Or two, it could be they're doing it in a more discreet way. A dry January. A 75 hard. Where you look at it and you will say to me, what's wrong with that? Someone doesn't want to drink for 1 month. Someone wants to work out. They want to read more. They want to cut back on processed foods. All of those are not bad things in of themselves. They're great. They're really positive things. But the issue is that that society and the culture around it has turned into almost a performative act, a competitive act. And a shame you if you're not act. And this is where I have the problem. It makes other people question, should I be doing that? Everyone's talking about it. Everyone's doing that. And your relationship with your health is completely different from someone else's. But when everyone's talking about it, or you go out to eat and everyone orders a mocktail, and you kind of were feeling wine, you didn't really have a crazy binge on the holiday break. You have every right to have a glass of wine if you want a glass of wine. Or maybe you did have a binge, but you do still have a very healthy relationship with alcohol and you want a glass of wine. You start feeling insecure and you start questioning. For some, that might be good. Maybe they do need to reevaluate their relationship with food, alcohol, general wellness, how they've been taking care of themselves, general stress and anxiety. For others, they may overthink it. They may start taking things too far when they didn't have to think about it in the first place. I'm very sensitive to this topic because that's a lot of the reason why I went down the rabbit hole of an eating disorder in the first place. And many, many girls who have talked to me who have an eating disorder have a persistent eating disorder exhibit kind of the same pattern of they never had an issue with food. They had a wonderful relationship with food. And they ate healthy, but they also, let themselves have their fun foods. They worked out, but they didn't force it. They didn't overdo it. Had a great relationship with their health. And it was one person or a bunch of people around them who kept harping on things or who had kept questioning things and made it this us versus them kind of discussion of, I'm dieting, I'm doing this diet. What are you doing? I'm doing this workout plan. I'm doing the, oh gosh, what was it? The like Beachbody workout. What are you doing? Where you start thinking, well, am I supposed to be stressed about this? And it can happen at any time in the year, but I think that January, it is heightened to such an uncontrollable level. When in reality, 1 week, 1 week of maybe eating a bit more food than you do or drinking a bit more than you normally do doesn't do much to you. It really doesn't. It's 1 week. And specifically with Dry January, the issue is reevaluating your relationship with alcohol is great. Taking a break from alcohol if you felt like you've been drinking a lot is great. It's smart. Alcohol is not necessarily great for us. Surprise, surprise. But how I see a lot of people do it, how I have even done it in the past, is one, it's almost like this competition. It's done for the wrong reasons. It's not to reevaluate or to reset your body and then continue on back to your normal, healthy relationship with alcohol. It's done in this black and white, all or nothing way. So in January, you either you cut it out completely, and then February 1st, for that first weekend in February, people go fucking nuts. And it's extremely dangerous because your tolerance is so much lower. And it's just like those crash diets. You stop for this extended period of time. Okay. You may have reset your body. You feel great. Awesome. And then the second you start again, you go wild. And with that comes a lot of anxiety, shame, guilt, potentially gets yourself into dangerous situations. And you end up worse than when you started. And it perpetuates this idea to the culture, or this idea to the world, that you have to go hard and fast, and then hard stop, go. Which is not at all how your relationship with food, alcohol should be. What I was taught in eating recovery, because I would frequently have binges. I was starving. So when I allowed myself to eat, when I hit the green button, it was hard for me to press stop because my body wanted more and more and more. And that freaked me out, obviously. But it was what my body needed. And the worst possible thing that I could have done is hard stop again. Binge, 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 binge. Hard stop to compensate for that binge. Because, well, I already got all of those calories, so I don't need them the next day. That was my mindset. And all it does is restart this cycle of binge, stop, binge, stop, binge, stop. And with that comes immense anxiety, constant anxiety of, am I going to binge? Am I going to binge? And I would even have that, it sprinkled into my alcohol consumption as well, of I would have a night where I maybe drank too much. Immense guilt the next day. Immense, immense, immense guilt. Thought I was the worst person in the world. Say to myself, stop, never going to do it again. I don't deserve that. I'm terrible. I'm awful. And then I'd slowly come out of that mindset of, okay, maybe I'm being too hard on myself. Let myself have alcohol again. But I didn't understand a healthy relationship with alcohol. And now I'm at a point where if I want to have a drink, I'll have a drink. If I don't. But I didn't understand that, especially in college, especially when kind of the culture around you is, again, all or nothing. It's hard to understand that middle ground. So that's why I say, hold on, listen to me before you start critiquing my hatred for New Year's resolutions and dry January and whatever, and 75 hard and whatever the hell else we'll come up with in these coming years. What it does is perpetuate this all or nothing behavior, this need to compensate. And this idea that your health and your food intake, alcohol intake, whatever it is, your health, your physical activity isn't allowed to fluctuate for even a week. And it enforces in our mind that 1 week of what's supposed to be joyous, we're supposed to go out with friends, grab a drink, or maybe not, maybe we don't grab a drink, maybe we just go out with friends and we grab a bunch of food and we eat. It's supposed to be joyous. Maybe we've been pushing ourselves all year and we get this day off and we want to just rest. We don't want to work out. It's supposed to be restful. It's supposed to be rejuvenating. It's supposed to be happy. And instead, we're telling ourselves, okay, you can be happy. Then you have to punish yourself. And we're adding positive and negative connotations to things that don't need to be positive and negative. We're turning neutral things into good and bad. And we're messing up and convoluting our relationship with everyday ordinary things that aren't meant to be bad. And having everyone around you talk about it and having that pressure makes you more self-conscious and you more hyper-aware that you're messing up. And it's usually not that, oh, I'm doing great. I'm great. I'm fine. That's usually not what you think after you're hearing a whole bunch of people be like, I'm doing the 75 hard. I'm doing this. I'm doing that. I'm doing this. Or here are all my New Year's resolutions. And one of them is like solve world peace. They're always ridiculous things like that. It's usually not that you're like, I'm doing great. It's usually negative. It's usually being self-conscious. And it's unnecessary. If you want to do something for your personal health, I think that's great. I don't think it's something that needs to be publicized on the loudspeaker. It's not something to brag about. Not because it's shameful, but just because it's just an act. It's not an accolade. It's not a win. It's just how you're choosing to live at that point. And you don't know who's on the receiving end and how that can impact them and what they're going through. That the words you're saying, how it might impact them. So I leave you with a couple things. One, if you're going to do a New Year's resolution or you're going to do any of these compensatory routines, do them with intention. Understand why you are doing this. And if it is to punish yourself, reevaluate at a deeper level. If it is because someone else is doing it, reevaluate at a deeper level. And if you see other people pushing all of these ideas of this is what's in and out for me, this is my year's resolution, this is my 75 hard, even this is my 75 soft. Watch them with skepticism. What they're working on is not necessarily what you're working on. Just because they have X amount of followers, or just because they're successful in this way, doesn't mean you have to copy them exactly. It might actually hurt you to copy them exactly. Take these trends, because that's all they are trends. And just like a hell of a lot of the trends in fashion, they don't last. Take them with skepticism. Set your intentions. Set your goals. Use the new year as a fresh start. Be mindful with them. Be intentional with them. Get specific. Get down to the root. What are specific things that you want to leave in the past? What are specific things that you want to work on? And maybe it's not going to be a yearly thing. Maybe this is a monthly thing you want to do. Because you have no idea what the fuck the year is going to bring. I know I didn't. Be gentle on yourself. Allow yourself to set these intentions without so many rules and so many ways for you to fail and for you to punish yourself. All you're doing is setting these things so that you can yell at yourself if you don't follow through. All it's going to do is hurt you. I'm sending my love to you guys. A new year is a fresh start. And it's fun. It should be fun. Let yourself have fun. Let yourself feel fresh and renewed. What happened in 2023 happened in 2023. We move forward. And that includes whatever the hell you ate or drank over Christmas, or not Christmas, but the holidays. Be kind to yourself. I love you guys. You guys should love yourself too. I wish it was that simple. I know it's not. But the sentiment is there. And with that, I will talk to you guys later. Thank you for listening. Bye.